front, Franklin, knocked away by Morris. Naismith sold a teammate to trouble, quick thinking by Kennedy, and Franklin was run down. Tom Boyd's got it. Tom Boyd goes long. How will it bounce? The stadium holds its breath. It's a goal. And the western suburbs erupt. Oh, Revo runs in. Touched up the boots. Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that?
Wonderful chase by Heath Shaw. It came up behind him like a librarian. He never heard him.
Oh,
no surprise. Everybody else in the library is shouting.
A back catalogue like no other. The legendary Dennis Committee. That was the hardest job that Val and Ben had today putting together the show, was to find two of his better ones because there are so many of them. Dennis Committee, one of a number of people inducted last night into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame. And it gives me an absolute enormous amount of pleasure to welcome Dennis to the program this afternoon. Dennis, congratulations and thanks for joining me.
Good on you, Jack. Thanks very much.
How was last night? I mean, it's a big night. It's an amazing room full of amazing people, and now you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's terrific. They say you're judged by the company you keep. Well, I had a good night last night, as it turned out.
Yes,
you look around and you recognise so many. I'm not very good with names in big crowds, but I knew most of them, so that was encouraging too. No, it was a great night.
Would the disc jockey of 1968, Dennis, have believed where you were last night?
He probably would have thought it was a bit square.
Bit boring for the disc jockey, was it?
That's right. It wasn't a nightclub. But they were different days, Jack. We can't go there. That's a long time ago. There's a statute of limitations.
That is exactly right. Hey, it has been a very big year for you, hasn't it? I mean, the OAM earlier this year is an amazing award that is awarded to you. And then this as well. You're so humble, and that's what makes you such a wonderful person. But have you had a chance to stop and reflect about it?
I think it was Naeem, actually, Jack, which is further down the pecking order, but nice try. I'm not sure which is which. But, I've enjoyed the year. It's quite strange. I mean, you're out of it, and suddenly it becomes central to your life. You're getting sort of recognition for something you did in a past life, and you just move on. But everyone's been terrific. I still enjoy, you know, sport. I don't ever stop watching it. I don't stop listening to it. And as a result, it's still much part of my life. But it's funny. I mean, looking back, I don't think over the course of my journey from disc jockey to what I am today, I look back that often. When you do, there's a broad brush there. It's a lot of extremes, but they've all been fun in their way. So I wouldn't change anything. I've got to say that.
So you're still loving footy. You're still calling as well for Triple M in WA and doing a brilliant job of it. So you're still enjoying it?
Yes, I do. I do. Well, it's pretty easy to do. I mean, we just do the home team. So there's a couple of teams you get to know pretty well.
Yes.
And so one team to sort of learn during the week isn't too hard. I mean, in the old days, doing three games a weekend, now that could be tough. But I was a younger man then, Jack. And as a result, the faculties were sharper, I guess.
Radio itself, Dennis, has always been your great love. And I spoke about the disc jockey days in the 60s and all that sort of stuff. Was there a period... maybe going back sort of 10 years or so where you thought radio was potentially under threat with the invention of, you know, podcasts and digital radio and all that sort of stuff? Or were you always a believer that it was such a strong part of people's lives?
Well, it was certainly a central part of my life. I listen a lot online, sort of. I go to bed listening to radio stations all over the world and I enjoy that. It's something you pinch yourself about, because I remember when I was starting out as a disc jockey, I was sending away for reel-to-reel tapes, and they take about 3 months to get there from stations all around the world, particularly in the United States, because that's where I think the music was coming from, although I was there for the Rolling Stones and the Beatles as well. So it goes back a fair way, and I was trying to learn things from those people, and I think at the end I sounded like a disc jockey in Wisconsin or somewhere. You know, I pinched all these lines. But it was, you're encouraged to try and say quick, smart things and be funny. So not sure I ever achieved that, but I tried.
Mm. Now, the state game was one of the first games of footy that you called back in the day. Have you ever considered what it would have been like, or what journey you would have gone down had you have not started calling footy?
Well, that was very odd. Yes, I got a call from Ian Major. I was just playing music at a station in Perth. I'd come back from Melbourne, actually, at that stage. I came here and worked for 3DB for a while doing nights. And I was back in Perth, and the phone rang, and it was Ian Major, who was doing football through 3KZ, I think, at the time. And he was a very well-known caller. And for some reason, and I still don't know the answer to this, but he was looking for someone to help him do a state game in Perth. It was the deciding game in the 1972 Carnival between Victoria and Western Australia. So he was doing it with Captain Blood, I think, at the time. And I think Jack must have come back or got the flu or done something. But anyway, he wasn't there. I thought about it afterwards. So I went and did this game. He said, is there anyone there? He thought there was an affiliation between his station and the station I was working for, but they were simply a rock station. They weren't doing sport.
Yeah.
But I played a bit of footy, so I sort of volunteered for the job. And he was very gracious on the day. He let me do more and more, and I was really enjoying it. So I came away thinking that it seemed to offer a lot more stability than the job I was in, because you got sort of a handshake and an award for long service if you asked it at a rock station for more than about 6 weeks.
That's slightly less volatile, although, Dennis, you've probably seen the comings and goings of sports media. That can be much the same.
Well, and radio itself, I still follow radio pretty closely too. It's still a brutal business, as is the media in general, but it's good fun, isn't it, Jack?
Oh, it sure is. What's the biggest change that you've seen in the industry over your career? Oh,
social media, without question. I mean, I'm sort of one leg in and one leg out. I mean, it's too late for me to sort of master it completely, but I get what I need out of it. But that's the biggest change. I mean, suddenly there isn't this, if you like, level which is above all others, because it's now the domain of the every person. You know, like anyone can get on there and have their opinion and attract a following and become, in essence, what we were and had, if you like, a monopoly on.
Were there many changes, and we're talking to the legendary Dennis Cometti here on SEN, were there many changes in the role of the commentator, Dennis, in terms of what TV directors and bosses and radio bosses wanted out of you?
I don't think so. I think it's changed because of the technology sometimes. That sort of dictates what you do on air. But I think it hasn't changed that much in essence. I think the basics are still there. I think perhaps it's come back a little bit, television commentary from radio commentary. I think the two were almost intertwined at the beginning because what you were getting were radio commentators going to TV. Now, a lot of people did both later, but I think drew a line between one and the other. So that not always the case. I mean, still some broadcasters broadcast on TV as if they were on radio. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just that I think people pull back a little because the pictures did help. And sometimes there could be a little overkill if there was too much excitement. People could see that it wasn't that exciting.
When you decided to finish up your commitments with Channel 7 in a full-time sense, I remember hearing you talking about wanting to travel more. Have you had the chance to do that?
Not at all. I don't like travel. Well, I do like traveling to places overseas, but generally I just haven't done that so far. I will. I was trying to talk my wife into it the other day. There's a lot of things I try and talk her into now. And none of them work, but I was wanting to get back to Madrid, which is probably my favourite place in the world, very sporting conscious city too, and no, she didn't want to go, so we'll probably get there. But even a trip now to Melbourne is a big deal, and I love Melbourne. I love coming back here. It is a sporting hub of the world. I used to have a suitcase. In fact, I had a couple of suitcases at the Hyatt Hotel, so it was easy to travel. Now I find getting forgetful and getting old, I forget what to bring. I don't have a suitcase in Melbourne anymore. It used to be sort of deluxe. You just jump on the plane, come across with just your hand luggage. Well, all that's changed, Jack. It's a much more difficult world when you're outside the loop.
Oh, it sure is. So now, I know you don't travel to Melbourne all that often anymore, but you're here at the moment as part of the Hall of Fame. I bet you probably don't miss that weekly four-hour flight.
Well, I liked coming because you're always sort of looking forward to the weekend, Friday night football and, you know, a couple of other games as well over the weekend. But what I hated was the trip back because it always took longer. There were headwinds and as a result, it could take up to 4.5 hours. So you'd walk in the door on a Sunday night at about midnight and then, you know, sort of do a full week over there, then come across. But I think your enthusiasm always built by the following Friday. It was just that when you look back and it's suddenly 3 years away and you think to yourself, how did I do that? But a lot of people have jobs like that, but when they're examined in isolation, do look crazy. And in hindsight, that was a little bit crazy trying to do it from Perth. But I loved every minute of it.
It probably is when you think about it like that. Dennis, thank you for joining me. It was a wonderful good night last night and an award that is completely justified in doing so. So thanks for the chat this afternoon.
And you do a great job. I listen often.
Oh, you're a good man. Thank you very much. Dennis Cometti joining us. And there's a fair chance that's probably going to make a promo. I would have thought that one as well.